To imagine this evening that we're all having a meal with Jesus, okay? So we're all there. We just had a meal with him. And all of a sudden, he stands up. He goes over and he gets a bowl of water. And he grabs a towel and he puts a towel over his shoulder. Actually puts it in his belt, in a sense. And he comes over and he starts washing your feet. And he's over here washing his feet, and he moves over here, and he starts washing your feet. And then you're next, and then you're next. At some point, you know you are the one that's going to be next, and you're going, what am I going to do? What do I do when Jesus gets to me, right? Because it's just weird, right? If we put ourselves in that spot, it would seem a little uncomfortable that Jesus, the Messiah, the one we've been following for about 3 years now, see him perform miracle after miracle, causing the dead to rise, healing the blind and the deaf, and now he's going to wash my feet? I don't think so. And that's what Peter thought. Peter said, I don't think so. And you know, he's thinking something similar to what John the Baptist would have thought. I need to be the one washing your feet. And you're the one trying to wash my feet. That's not going to be the way this is. And then Jesus says, well, if I'm not going to wash your feet, then you don't have a part with me. He says, okay, well, if you're going to wash my feet, then let's do the whole thing. Peter, a lot like that, right? Both feet. Jump right in. Foot in mouth. Everything that goes along with that. That was Peter. And I can really identify with that. I really can. Think to go from one extreme, you're not going to do this, to do the whole thing. And that's where we are. And Jesus then does wash his feet. And he washes all of our feet as we sit there. And then he says, why? He goes on in verses 14 and 15 of this. He says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, Jesus is using the example of washing feet. And we could be really legalistic here, and we can think that specifically that's what Jesus is asking us to do. And we need to have some opportunities then. We would just take our shoes off and we start washing each other's feet. Or we take the principle that Jesus was trying to teach. And that's the way I want to go with this. Is it wrong to wash one another's feet? No, we could do that. But it's bigger than that. It's bigger than washing feet. What Jesus is saying, yes, I am Lord. Yes, I am the Messiah. And if I, your Lord, your master, your teacher, is the one who's washing your feet, I'm telling you, go do likewise. You be willing to wash one another's feet. You be willing to help others. Last night, we talked about being vulnerable, being willing to share with one another when we have a burden that we are bearing, that we do not have to bear that alone. And we need to share that burden with one another to allow for the opportunity for others to assist and help us and not feel like we are all alone. That only works if we're not only burden givers. We have to be burden takers. We have to learn to truly serve one another. Sometimes you need to be the boat that's being pulled. Sometimes you need to be the tugboat. And you need to be helping others behind. And that's the idea this evening that we want to look at is if we together are developing a culture of service and helping one another as Jesus has taught us, then we can truly bear one another's burdens, and when I really am suffering, I know where I can go. But it first starts with being a servant. So, Galatians 5 and verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. We cannot bear one another's burdens if we're not willing to serve one another. So let's talk about what that means. What is he talking about here as far as serving one another? Well, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And I want to focus just a moment on that idea and that concept, as we have opportunity. Sometimes our service is not an inconvenience. Sometimes it's just opportunity, right? Opportunity presents itself. Now, I don't believe that necessarily that this passage is just teaching only when you see those opportunities. I believe it's talking about seeking those opportunities. But I also want, let's just talk about some opportunities that we have that just fall in our laps. Let me give you an example of that. Tonight, Chris made it really easy for me to make a joke. And I took opportunity to make that joke. He's wearing a shirt that has crabs all over it. And I said, are you crabby tonight? See, that was an opportune moment. It was convenient. It was easy. It was low-hanging fruit for me to be able to make that joke. That's the type of service, in a different way, obviously, that we're talking about here in this opportunity that we have. It's convenient sometimes to go ahead and serve one another. So let's talk about that. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus was walking through this large crowd. And there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. I really identify with Zacchaeus. He's a short man. And I get that, okay? I get being short. And I get trying to look over you towering people, trying to see something that's passing in front of me. Zacchaeus, seeing that, climbed a tree. He wanted to see Jesus going by. It kind of reminds me of when I was a kid and we'd go to the homecoming parade, and Dad, who's 6'2", I don't know how this happened to me, but Dad, being 6'2", put me on top of his shoulders. I could see the entire parade with no problem. So Zacchaeus climbs his tree so that he could see this pass by. And I want you to notice what Jesus did. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now, Jesus wasn't looking for this opportunity. The opportunity just presented itself. However, he looked up. He took the opportunity. He didn't keep his head down, just keep moving forward. He looked up. And here was this opportunity. Here was this man who obviously was seeking him out and wanted to see him. Now, that's pretty easy. That's the kind of person you want to talk to. Jay, those are 5 stars, right? When you go knock doors. Because you know they want to talk to you. Okay, so he took advantage of that opportunity. It just kind of fell in his lap, even though he wasn't necessarily going to look for that. So those are the types of opportunities that we have before us sometimes when it's just easy to do that. Romans 12 and verse 15, we talked about this concept last night from the other side of people being willing to rejoice and weep with you, but rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. When somebody's sad, is it really that hard to comfort them? It doesn't happen all the time. But it's not that hard. It's also a lot of times not that hard to identify. We can see those moments, and we can know when someone's joyous. Something has happened in their life that has given them joy. And for all of us, at all times, there's something that has happened in our life, his name is Jesus, that has given us joy. And we could rejoice for that. So there's always a time for rejoicing, and there might be a time, there are times, for weeping. And you can weep and somewhat rejoice, be joyful at the same time, because we have joy in Christ, even though we're suffering through this. So this is something that is convenient, in a way, for us to do. It's just not that hard. It's not that hard to walk up to somebody and just pat them on the shoulder and let them know you're there. That's pretty easy. And sometimes those opportunities present themselves. Let me give you some examples of that. When someone comes forward and they just need prayers, embrace them. Let them know you're there. Let them know that you care. They've made it really easy and really obvious that they need something from you. Just serve them. We also have opportunity. This is a sister in the church at Sooner East Church of Christ in Midwest City, Oklahoma. I've known her since she was a child, but this particular post was on Facebook that she was celebrating sobriety. That's a time to rejoice. There's a lot of negativity on social media. So when we come across something that we can celebrate, let's celebrate it. And let me tell you how convenient that is. You move your mouse or your finger, whichever, and you click the thumbs up button. And she knows. She knows you're rejoicing with her. That's just easy. That's convenient. You weren't looking for it. It just happened to be there. So that's something that we could do as well. Here's another one that we just make it really easy. Every Sunday, there's some sort of way in which we can give to the church. I didn't ask about how it's done here. Is it with baskets or some sort of collection that way that you pass around? Okay. They make it easy. And you can plan for that because you know it's going to happen every Sunday. And you know that in that way, you are serving the church. It's pretty convenient to be able to do something like that. Here's another one. When you get up from your pew, just pick up your stuff. It's just not that hard. And you know what? You're lifting the burden of the one who has to clean up, and they don't want to touch your dirty tissues. You know that, right? You remember COVID? This is something that's just so easy to do, and we could all do just a little bit. And it's lifting the burden for somebody else. It's serving somebody else besides just me instead of thinking, you know what? They'll clean it up. It's their job. We could all do that, right? So those are the convenient times that we can do those things. However, there are times when it's inconvenient. Right? Galatians 5, verse 13, he says, do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Sometimes it's real easy to do the other way, to walk on by, to use the Good Samaritan illustration that Jesus used. It's easy to be the priest and the Levite sometimes. I've got things to do. I've got things I've got to tend to. And so I'm going to walk on by and get to do otherwise would not be an opportunity for my flesh, but it's a sacrifice of my flesh. So sometimes we need to serve when it's inconvenient. As Jesus learns of the death of John the Baptist. Now, this was someone that was close to Jesus. And Jesus, hearing that news, just needed a moment. He needed to get away for just a little while. Maybe talk to his father and let his father comfort him. Something, just to be alone from everybody else. And the problem was, he couldn't get away from the crowd. And so he sends the crowd away. He sends his disciples away. And his whole thing that he's going to try to do is he's going to walk on the water. His intention is to get to the other side, so when their boat comes up, he's standing there. So that still gives him a little time to be alone. But instead they say they're afraid, and so he walks on the water to them. And he takes care of their needs. So he's mourning, he needs to be alone, he can't get away. And now he's helping his disciples. He gets to the other side, and you know what's on the other side? They all hear about Jesus. And they're there. They're waiting on Jesus there. And so he starts to heal people there as well. It says, and when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through that whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. You know what Jesus didn't do? He didn't say, I need to be alone. I can't tend to you because that's not convenient for me. That's not what he did. He tended to them, even though it was inconvenient, even though it was a sacrifice. He didn't say, well, I'm an introvert and I need time to decompress. Word wasn't even invented. That's not how it works. That's not what Jesus did. And it was not easy for him to do that at that time, and he did it anyway. That's what he means when he says, I've washed your feet, now you go wash others' feet. He showed them that time and time again. And it's much bigger than just washing feet. In Matthew 25, we have the parable there of the sheep that are separated from the goats. And he says to those on his right hand, you did these things for me. To those on the left, he said, you didn't do these things. Then the righteous will answer him. This is the ones that are on the right. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. It's the little things. And sometimes it's the little sacrifices that make big sacrifices. Is it convenient to go see someone when they're sick? Not always. To visit somebody in prison? All those things that he talks about here that seem somewhat insignificant. So little. But to the person that's there, it means everything. It means everything. If you've ever been stuck in a hospital bed, you long for people to come and visit you. To hold your hand, pray for you. To bring their cards to the little children that you're going to hang on the wall. You will. To some, it's a bigger sacrifice than others. Some are going to drive far away, some not so much. But it really doesn't matter. You're just glad they're there. See, you don't think about those things until you're in that spot. So think about that before you're in that spot when somebody else is, and serve them even when it's inconvenient. So what can we do? You can hold somebody's hand in the hospital bed. Just go visit them. When I was in the hospital, I can tell you this. I remember very little conversation. I don't remember what we talked about. One particular visit, I remember that I was sitting there, laying there, and there were two people that hadn't seen each other for a while that both came to visit me and were talking with one another. And it was great. I don't remember what they were talking about. All that mattered to me was that they were there. We can do that. You can do that. Just go visit the sick. Another thing that we can do. There's a breakfast tomorrow, right? Bring food. That means a little less food, perhaps, for your family because you're preparing that for a whole big group or however you want to look at that. It's a sacrifice, right? It's not always easy or convenient to do that. You have a potluck, bring food to the potluck. It's little, but it's big. I hope that makes sense. But it's a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice that's worth it. What else can we do? Take the call. I know sometimes it's not always easy. And I know caller ID makes this a little more difficult sometimes. You look at your phone when it's ringing. You're in the middle of something. Might be important, might not be, doesn't really matter. It just might be that you want to be busy at that moment because you look at your caller ID and go, oh, do I really have to answer this? Why don't we have the mindset, I'm going to serve. I'm just going to serve. I get a text back. Y'all communicate with GroupMe. Is that? Use GroupMe. When you see something in GroupMe that needs a response, respond. Let everybody know. That's just serving one another. At the moment, it might be a little inconvenient. Let it be inconvenient. Go ahead and do that anyway. Be willing to change plans. Be willing to alter what you're even doing. Now, this as much as anything I'm preaching to me, okay? It is really hard for me, for someone to make plans with me and then last minute change the plans. That throws me off. And you may be the same way. Maybe you're planning on having dinner, but now they want to have coffee at their house or something. What? I don't know. Just whatever the change of plans might be. Just willing to go with the flow. Be willing to go with the flow. I'm talking to me. And change those plans because it's not about me. In that moment, it's about that individual and serving them. Is it convenient? No. It's not convenient. But don't use the opportunity to serve the flesh, but rather use it to serve one another and serve people. And the last thing in this particular area is be willing to volunteer. If the churchyard needs mowed and they're looking for volunteers, sign up. If they need somebody to put the bulletin together, sign up. If they need people to go to the food bank, be willing to go to the food bank. Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter what that is. If it's asked of the congregation for you to volunteer, volunteer and be of service instead of being a burden. And ease somebody else's burden to be able to do that. And again, all of this requires sacrifice. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we see here, we are to continually offer the sacrifice of praise. And let's just be honest here. We may be so used to it that we just do it and we don't think about it being a sacrifice. But being at the assembly is a sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice of praise. But it's beyond that. That's not just at the assembly. We're to continually offer the sacrifice of praise. We're to continually praise God. And that's not always convenient either, is it? Sometimes you're doing that out in the world and you know that you might lose your job for this. Worth it. He says, do it anyway. Offer that sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. But he says, also, sacrifice with you. Sacrifice by sharing, by giving up your time, giving up your energy, giving up your things that you hold so dear. Do not use your liberty to serve the flesh, but rather use whatever you have to serve one another. Be that sacrifice that pleases God. That's the point. Are we not here to please God? Then let's please God in our service to one another. In Mark chapter 10, we have an argument that's being made by the apostles about who's going to be the man. They all knew that Jesus at some point was going to go on and that he was going to pass this down to them. So which one gets to sit at the right hand? And they asked Jesus. They even send their mom to ask Jesus. I mean, there are times that we have wanted ice cream, and we know that with my dad, if we send my niece and she asks for ice cream, he's going to take us to Brahms. We know that. That's what these guys are doing with their mom. Surely he won't turn mom down. And this is what Jesus said. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It wasn't about the authority. It wasn't about the power. Of all people who ever deserved that glory, who ever deserved that power, who ever deserved any praise, it was Jesus. And he said, I lay it down. I'm here to serve. To pay the penalty that we have accrued, to pay our debt. And that's how he became a ransom for many. He didn't come to be served. That was what he deserved. He did not get what he deserved because he came to serve. And so he's saying for us to do the same. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." Okay, there's the baseline. That's what he did. And now he goes on to say, "And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Okay, so Jesus is the standard, and we know that standard was that he was willing to lay down his life for you. And so now he says, "I want you to lay down your life for the very people I laid down my life for, the brethren." That's the kind of mindset that we need to have. Now, it's this type of sacrifice that I believe that most of us theoretically, intellectually, believe that we would make. I genuinely believe that most of us, this grand thing that would be asked of us to do, if I was asked to lay down my life, I believe most of us would be, at least theoretically, willing to do that. These are the type of sacrifices that we look at and you go, "You know what? I'm willing to go to Nigeria and risk my life for the cause over there. I'm willing to go to India and risk my life for the cause of the gospel. I may lose my life, but it's worth it for the cause," right? Those are one-time events. And they're big events, right? They're big. They're important. We need to have that attitude. But that's not all that Jesus is talking about. Yes, we need to be willing to lay down our life. That is the big overarching principle to feed the rest of this. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Whoever has this world's goods and sees somebody in need and doesn't give it to them, he doesn't love. That's what he's saying. Also, be willing not to just go make these big sacrifices, but make the little ones. The ones that are challenging every day. The ones that are burdensome every day, not just these big things. I've heard people say, "If I win the lottery, if I win the lottery, I'll give the majority of that to the church," right? We need a new building. Okay, so we're going to give that to the church. Okay, what about your paycheck now? What about now? Are you, if you're not willing to make the little sacrifices, you won't make the big one either, because it's really about the heart. It's about the spirit and the disposition behind the whole thing. That's why he gave it in this order. You think about the big picture, and then let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's get down to daily life. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to serve people, to do the hard things that are right now? If you're not uncomfortable, if it doesn't hurt a little, it's not really a sacrifice. It's not really service. It's going to hurt a little, and it should. But it should be for the benefit of the other, because that is what pleases God, and because that is what Jesus did. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, "As each one has received a gift," that's everyone, by the way, "minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Each of you has something to offer. Be a good steward of what has been given to you by the grace of God, and serve one another. That's what we're called to. That's how we are called to be of service, to use what God has given you to serve one another. We have an opportunity here this evening to serve one another. If you have a burden, remember last night, I'm not saying that you shouldn't ever have burdens. That's the opposite of what I'm saying. So you may have a burden tonight that you didn't feel comfortable sharing with last night, or maybe you weren't here. The rest of us that don't have that burden perhaps right now, we are here to serve. We're not here to judge. We're not here to try to figure out how in the world you got into that place. That's irrelevant unless it helps you to overcome it. So what I'm saying to you this evening is we will pray for you. Beyond the prayer, we'll help counsel you scripturally. What does the Bible say about this? How can we help you further? That's what it means to serve one another. It's real easy to pray for you right here. That's a convenience. It's different when we have to take time out to serve, but we will. We will do that. Because that's the type of environment that we want of God's people. So we're going to sing this song, and we're going to invite you to come to the front. And if you need to weep, we'll weep with you. If you need to rejoice, we'll rejoice with you. Just let us know by coming and sitting on the front while we stand and sing.